305 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It's a lovely sort of a day weather-wise, that's for sure. And we have absolutely appalling material that we have to deal with. A little bit earlier today, Richmond's Morning News, Rich Herrera, reached out to me and said, hey, can we get you on the air for a couple of minutes to talk about what had happened up in Washington, D.C.? I was on my way to jail. It's, you know, Friday Eve for us. Some people refer to it as Thursday, I know, but that's the day I go to jail. And as weird as it sounds, it's a day I look forward to. I look forward to going to jail and spending some time and helping some folks. And, of course, I reached out when I got to a red light, and I was able to return his call and the text. Yeah, you know, I could. 8:35 is fine. 9:05 will be too late because I'll be inside the jail. And it's always interesting to me when I chat with people who are doing that whole morning drive thing, saying, "Oh, I didn't mean to wake you up." It's like, dude, I've been up. You know, I'm just not getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning anymore. That's the difference between doing mornings and afternoons. I acknowledge 3 o'clock, but I only acknowledge one of them each and every day. But I had to go pull over into a parking lot just so I had a few details on what had happened up in D.C. I had heard the report, but I didn't know very much. Now, as soon as I heard that it was two members of the Israeli embassy and they were murdered as they were coming out of a Jewish event at the Capitol Jewish Museum in D.C., I knew just in my heart of hearts that it was anti-Semitism. It was Jew hatred. I guess I had to fill in some of the details, but I knew what it was, because I've lived this my entire life. I am not someone who blames others' actions on my own personal characteristics or traits or anything like that. But there are moments which are born of a lifetime of experience that they're just some things you know, right? You know them. You just know them. You don't need to hear anything else. You get it. And so I got this. And one of the things that I was able to share with Rich this morning, and I'll share again this afternoon, is a phrase that I have adopted. I adopted it many years ago. I say we need more JDL and less ADL. The JDL, for those of you that don't know, the Jewish Defense League, it was founded by Rabbi Meir Kahane. Rabbi Kahane was from New York, but he had lived in Israel. He started the Jewish Defense League as exactly what it sounds like, a group of Jews who were determined to fight back. The ADL, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, has long been a repository of left-wing talking points. And there's a lot of talking. The ADL talks. They talk about a lot of stuff. I don't know what they do. The JDL, during its time, and it, at least in theory, doesn't exist anymore, they fought back. And this is something that every Jewish family of a certain age and a certain generation would understand. I understood it to my core, because back in the 70s, as I was growing up in Philadelphia, Oxford Circle, Northeast Philadelphia, a community that was just about equally divided, Jewish and Catholic, a slight edge to Jewish, actually, at the time. But it was fundamentally, for the sake of argument, just about 50-50. And it was a great neighborhood in which to grow up. Kids were responsible and paid attention in school. We played in the streets, played in the alleys. Every one of us loved the Flyers. This was at the time of the Broad Street Bullies. We won back-to-back Stanley Cups. We loved the Flyers. Everybody did. And it didn't make any difference whether you went to the public school as the Jewish kids did or the Catholic school as the Catholic kids did. We all loved hockey, and we all loved the Flyers, and we all loved the Broad Street Bullies, and every one of us thought we were gonna grow up and be Dave Schultz. That's what we wanted to be. In fact, there was a store on Castor Avenue. Castor Avenue was the main shopping area for our neighborhood. And on Castor Avenue, there was a men's store called Fleet's, F-L-E-E-T, apostrophe S. It was where every boy in the neighborhood, Jew or Catholic, went for that first suit. For the Jewish boys, we went over there to get fitted for our bar mitzvah suit. For the Catholic boys, they went over there to get fitted for their first communion suit. And in the Jewish Exponent, which was the weekly Jewish newspaper, Fleets always had an ad with photos of the boys who had come in to get fitted for their bar mitzvah suits. And so that was a big deal to have your photo, if you were Jewish, in the Jewish Exponent. Because there you were in all your finery. And the local Catholic newspaper, well, they had a weekly ad as well from Fleets with photos of the young boys who were at Fleets getting their first communion suits. We grew up side by side. In theory, at least, if you crossed the boulevard, it was more Catholic than Jewish on one side, and then the other side, it was more Jewish than Catholic. I got a buddy of mine who's actually a doctor who grew up on the other side of the street. He is just a world-renowned cosmetic surgeon, plastic surgeon. I don't know if it's cosmetic that he does or plastic. I've had some experience with him professionally. But he grew up in Philadelphia. And I think the world of the guy. I only see him when something's wrong. So he's not a friend. You know, if you're thinking, oh, is it Joe Niamto? No, Joe Niamto is a friend. And yes, absolutely marvelous facial surgeon, you know, gives you smiles when you want to smile. He's a great guy. But no, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about another doctor that I know, another surgeon. And when I went in, first time we were chatting, and he said, oh, you're from Philadelphia. I said, I know. He said, well, no, I know because I listen to your show, and I'm from Philadelphia. We grew up, you know, kind of opposite sides of the street. I grew up, and he told me the name of the parish that he was in. I went, oh, yeah. And he says, and I went to such and such a Catholic school. And he goes, oh, yeah, yeah. And I went, and I told him, and we just had a great time. And he's a little bit older than I am, a few years older, but we fundamentally had the same memories of growing up in that neighborhood. And if you were to go and ask the vast majority of the folks who grew up in that neighborhood in Oxford Circle in Philadelphia at that time, just about everybody had the same experiences. But I had an experience, and some of us on the Jewish side of it had an experience which, quite frankly, changed my life. I've told you about the Bargs, Mr. and Mrs. Barg. Mr. and Mrs. Barg were survivors of Auschwitz. And they lived next to us. Now, we lived in a row house. Nowadays, they call them townhomes, and they raise the prices. I'll tell you what a row house was. A row house was part of about, I don't know, 25 or 30 houses on each side of the street. You had windows in the front and windows in the back. So your view from the front was of the street with cars parked there, and your view from the back, which was my view from my bedroom, was of an alley with trash cans. That was my view. Which is why I'm so unbelievably grateful that I get to wake up where I wake up and enjoy what I enjoy. But as a little kid, I asked Mr. and Mrs. Barg about those numbers on their arms. And I can remember Mr. Barg saying, Jeffrey, yes, yeah. Well, you know, and I don't remember his wife's name. I mean, they were old when I knew them. They're long gone by this point, but whatever. He said, you know, well, Mrs. Barg and I, we don't have very good memories anymore. So we had our phone numbers written on our arms so that way we don't forget them. And I thought, well, okay, made sense to me. I didn't know. I didn't closely examine them. Had I closely examined them, I would have seen that there were two different numbers. And this was at a time we had wires that brought the phone into the house. You had one phone, maybe two. Maybe you had one upstairs. There was only one number. Nobody had two phone numbers. That was outrageous. But it was enough for me. I was a little kid. Sure. Okay, Mr. Barg. Okay, Mrs. Barg. Well, that's great. I remember going home. And going home, by the way, meant walking, I don't know, 10 feet from their front door to our front door. We were directly next door neighbors. And going home and talking to my mom, because she was home after when I got there. My dad wasn't home from work yet. And I said, hey, you know, isn't it interesting, Mr. and Mrs. Barg? You know, they have their phone numbers written on their arms. And she got livid. Oh, my God. Don't ever ask them about that. Don't ever talk to them. Don't. Okay. I mean, I didn't see what the big deal was. They're just phone numbers. Who cares? Now, fast forward a couple of years. I told you how much everybody in the neighborhood loved hockey and how we all wanted to be the Broad Street Bullies. We all wanted to be the Philadelphia Flyers who won the back-to-back Stanley Cups in the early 70s. I'll tell you what happened after school one day, after elementary school. And the difference between my mom and my dad, because it was that moment that I fully understood what has become my mantra now, which is we need more JDL and less ADL. I'm going to share that with you in a couple of moments. We got a lot that we're going to deal with, I know. Some of it is, quite frankly, going to be more challenging than some other parts. And we're going to have to make a few adjustments. Now, ordinarily at 3:35, the media equalizer, Brian Maloney, would join us. Germ, we're just going to have to reschedule Brian. We'll have to get him on next week, and I apologize. I should have let you know. It's been a very interesting day. It has involved a lot of time for me directed elsewhere, but we are going to deal with this, and there are just some things that I have to explain, and I have to share with you about what happened in D.C. and how right about now it is hitting, I swear to you, every Jewish person in America. Everyone. Now, if you want to jump in here, of course, the James River Air text line is always available to you, and today is no exception. 833-804-1140. Please feel free to send me a text. Would love to hear what you have to say. Would love to examine what you're thinking. We know that the terrorist, there's no other way to describe him, the terrorist in D.C., wanted to kill Jews, and he succeeded in killing two Jews. All the while, he was shouting one of the many slogans now adopted by Hamas and the useful idiots who have flocked to support them. Thoughts on that? James River Air text line is the way to share them. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. And right up until 4 o'clock, we're going to be talking about the murders that took place up in D.C. Terrorist action. Trying to dive into some of the details. And I know ordinarily 3:35, our pal Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, would be here. But we're going to give Brian the week off this week just because we've got to deal with this. And I'm a little, well, more than a little, rocked by it, but not surprised by it. Right? I hate that it happened, but I can't be overly surprised that it happened. And I take you back to my childhood. As a kid, growing up in an area where we had essentially half Catholic, half Jewish population, everybody seemed to get along okay. Wasn't really any bad difficulty until, for some reason, and I don't know exactly why, but there started to be some attacks on folks like Mr. and Mrs. Barg, my neighbors. There were attacks on Jews throughout the community. I mentioned the hockey. Let me explain what that was. Some of us, one day after school, wasn't a special day. We were out in the schoolyard. We were playing street hockey. It was all the rage. Again, you got to remember, back-to-back Stanley Cups, the Broad Street Bullies, Philadelphia Flyers. Hell, Dave Schultz came out to Fleet's Men's Store on Castor Avenue when he had a song out called Penalty Box. And the line was, it had to be a mile long. And all of us in line, if you would have done the math, half of us would have been Jewish, half of us would have been Catholic. It all would have been good. But there was one day it all changed. I'll tell you about it at 3:35. It is 3:28, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. I've been looking for something to help me crack a smile. I think that was just it. Sarah Huffman, who you've heard doing a wide variety of reporting for us for a while now, do you know that's her first official solo newscast? I don't know about you. I think that was excellent. That was a rock-solid performance. I mean, she's still crazy with the love for roller coasters and all, but man, she hit that one out of the park. So nice job, Sarah. Good to have you as part of the squad. That was nice. I'm going to take you back a little bit, although I will tell you, as I look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, I'm looking at, I am looking at someone who took the time to text in and say, stop the martyr whining. Dude, I don't know who you are, but I got to think you're not that bright. And I got to think that maybe the show is not for you. That's all I'm going to say. You know, the last thing you want to do in media is invite someone not to listen or watch or read. But I'm thinking you just this may just not be for you. That's all. I'm not going to get too into it, but it's a good example. It's a good example of why something like what happened in D.C. with the targeted murder of two Jews at a Jewish event thrown at a Jewish venue by a Jewish group can be dismissed as, quote, martyr whining. How disgusting is that? Well, let me take you back now. So some friends of mine and I are playing street hockey. We all want to be the Philadelphia Flyers. It's the early 70s. We stay after school to do it. It's a big, beautiful schoolyard. Big and beautiful seems to be a term that's in vogue at the moment. And we're playing street hockey. And it wasn't on skates because the playground itself, the schoolyard was not flat. So it's just us in sneakers. We're elementary school kids. And each of us has a stick. And we've got a bright orange, hard as a rock ball, and we're playing street hockey. And out of nowhere, bunch of bigger kids who were junior high school age, come along. And again, we're elementary. I guess we were third grade. And these kids were 8th, 9th, 10th grade. I don't know how it works everywhere, but for us, we used to have junior high school, 7th, 8th, and 9th grades. And high school started in 10th. So these were junior high and high school kids who all attended the local Catholic junior high school and the local Catholic high school. And they came across the yard almost like it was a military maneuver. And they walked right up to us, and they just hauled off and proceeded to start beating the crap out of us. And I mean some solid hits. Now, you could have taken the hits and maybe moved on, right? But it was what they were saying as they were doing it. They told us all that we were dirty kikes. They told us that we were dirty Jews and dirty Jewish SOBs and this and that, and all sorts of obscenities. And they also said, it's a shame Hitler didn't finish the job. I remember that to this day. And they proceeded to stomp us, but good. By the time we all got up, at least for me, I got a black eye, right? It's swollen shut already. I got a split lip. Clothing is torn. I'm in pretty crappy condition, especially for a third grader. And I am the whole lip-sucking sort of blubbering, and I ran home. And I remember getting home, and my mom was there, and oh my God, she broke down in tears, and why did this happen, and how did it happen, and how are we going to do this, and how are we going to do that, and blah, blah, blah. It just went on and on and on and on and on. But it was all directed towards me as the victim, right? I was the victim, clearly. My dad came home, and he saw me, and he had a slightly different attitude. He said, come with me. We went down to our basement, down to the cellar. And he tossed a pair of beat up old brown leather boxing gloves at me. These were the gloves he had worn when he was in the Army. And he was somehow, some way, like on the Army boxing team in Korea. And he said, you're going to learn how to fight. And he proceeded to teach me how to fight, how to box. My mom was appalled. I can remember to this day my mom yelling down the stairs, don't teach him that, don't teach him, blah, don't teach him. And he doesn't need to know that. And my father making clear to me, you need to know how to fight. You're going to get this forever. So you better learn how to fight, boy. And I learned how to fight. Now, around that time, as I said, the neighborhood still pretty much split. And it was the only example I had ever seen of it. And there was a part that said, well, you know, it's kind of like a one-off. You got some bad kids. Ultimately, I remember that somehow, some way, my dad got in touch with the priest who was in charge of the high school and the priest who was in charge of the junior high school. And he had a conversation with those gentlemen who in turn had a conversation with those boys' parents who in turn had a conversation, to say the least, with their boys. And it never happened again. Fast forward, I'm getting ready for my bar mitzvah. Right? It happens at 13. So I'm getting ready for my bar mitzvah. And you know what happens to Mr. and Mrs. Barg and folks like Mr. and Mrs. Barg in the neighborhood? Because we had this apartment complex about two blocks away from our row house, and there were a whole slew of Jews who had survived the camps and Jews who had fled the old Soviet Union. And they all congregated to this apartment complex. And this group, and I don't know that it was the same idiots that did us all those many years ago, but it was a similar mindset. They went out targeting these old men and old women who would walk, because none of them had driver's licenses. They had these little shopping carts that they pulled behind themselves, and they would walk up the hill to Castor Avenue to go to the store, to go get food, and then walk back. They were old then. They're dead now. They've been dead for decades. They were old people then, but they survived those camps. And they fled somehow the Soviet Union and came to America. And these degenerates attack them, screaming at them, beating up little old ladies. Hitler should have finished the job. Die, you dirty Jew. Die. And that's when I joined the JDL, the Jewish Defense League. There was a high school teacher in Philadelphia who set up training for the JDL. And it was in the basement again. I mean, we had, you know, Northeast Philadelphia, Oxford Circle, we got a lot of basements. Everybody had a basement. And we learned how to fight with the JDL. We had Jews who had served in the Marines. We had Jews from the Army, Jews from the Navy, Jews from the Air Force. We had Jews who were cops. We had Jews who were firefighters. And those guys came in the evening. Wednesday evenings, as I recall, is when we had these JDL trainings. And there were a whole slew of us that just learned really how to fight. And we went out there and we walked with those old men and those old women to the store so they could buy their chicken for dinner. We were not going to allow them to be attacked and victimized yet again. All the while I was doing that, my mother, again, God bless her, I love her, but she was like every other Jewish mother that I've met. Oh, no, don't do that. It's too violent. Oh, no, don't do that. Something could happen. Oh, don't do that. What happens if? What if they do this? And again, the response from my father was, you better know how to fight. And once you know how to fight, you understand a couple of things about fighting. Number one, don't ever start a fight. That was part of his advice to me. Don't you dare ever start a fight. But you damn well make sure that you finish it, or at least get to the point that it's just about finished. And whoever the person was who stepped to you, they at least are going to know that you fought back. And if you have the opportunity to protect these older people in the neighborhood, you have at it. God bless you. Go do it. That's your obligation. They survived Hitler's desire to slaughter them. Are we going to let them get killed on Castor Avenue by some jackass screaming about it? I don't think so. At least not on my watch. I was 13 years old. So I see what happened in D.C. I share with you that disgusting text that came in. Stop with the martyr whining. Well, if you think it's whining, I don't know what to say. I really don't. I don't know what to say, except I don't care what you have to say. And that's not normally my mindset. I care what other people have to say. Generally speaking, I value what other people have to say. But if you don't understand it, then you don't understand it, and is what it is. But I wasn't, unfortunately, surprised by that. And so I am here to tell you, as a Jewish guy in America today in the year 2025, this sort of nonsense continues. Bibi Netanyahu called it out. Said it's, you know, it's like the old blood libels against the Jews. They're always going to be around. Maybe someday there'll be, paradise somewhere. But it certainly isn't today. President Trump calling it out for exactly what it was. Now, this degenerate, I don't even want to mention the Delta Bravo's name, who's been arrested now. Terrorism. First-degree murder in the District of Columbia. The acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia is Judge Jeanine Pirro. And if you don't think she's going to do everything to nail that jerk's ass to the wall, then you don't know Judge Jeanine. Because I'm here to tell you that this is going to be a death penalty case. That's what it's going to be. And we'll see again who stands with this moral reprobate, who stands with the bottom feeder. Free, free Palestine. Yeah, I agree with you. Free. Free Palestine from Hamas. That's who's destroyed Gaza. Oh, I did this for Gaza. Did you? Can you find Gaza on a map, you moron? From the river to the sea. Tell me which river. Tell me which sea. Tell me what that really means. Oh, from the river to the sea. It just means, you know, everybody's going to live in peace. No. It means take every Jew in between the river and the sea and throw them in the sea. Oh, yeah, well. No, there's no, oh, well, yeah. This is one of those defining moments. This is why I have told you again and again, Am Yisrael Chai. It's all the Hebrew you need to know. Aside from, there's one other phrase you need to know in Hebrew. Ani lo medaber ivrit, which is Hebrew for I don't speak Hebrew. But the other one is Am Yisrael Chai. The Jewish people live. The Jewish people survive. And if this degenerate thinks that he's the one who's going to take us out, I got news for you, bud. We've been up against the best of them, right? We've been fighting back for thousands of years, and it is only through the grace of God that we have survived to this point. And we will continue to survive. We will continue to stand up to scum like you. And thank God Almighty that it is Judge Jeanine Pirro, who is the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia. Thank God that it is Donald Trump who put her in place and is standing against this. Because you know as well as I do, if it were somebody else there, this guy would get away with it somehow, some way. I'm not saying he would not be in prison. Not saying that. But I think Judge Jeanine is going to make it very clear to him what a death penalty case really is. And I wish her nothing but Godspeed in doing that. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. .356 Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve, and we have got a wonderful experience straight ahead. You know that I am a longtime fan of the Stu Leonard's markets, which are primarily up in New York, New England area, Connecticut, New York, stuff like that. And, of course, locally, we have Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market over in Short Pump, and Tom and the gang are good friends, but we also happen to be religious shoppers over there. Did you notice that there are a number of things that say Stewie the Duck? There are animal crackers, and there's a plush Stewie the Duck, and... Well, I thought that I had heard something about Stewie the Duck through the years, and I thought, well, now, wait a minute, why is it all over here at Tom Leonard's? Is it? And I learned the story. My friend Tom Leonard, told me the story. His son TJ shared a few things. And coming up at 4:05, Ryan Leonard, who is part of the Leonard family, is going to share with us the story of Stewie the Duck. And why, as we are dealing with Water Awareness Month, Water Safety Month for kids, it is vital. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.